a pastor. Now, did any of you know that? No. See, that's why that's why it's important that we get to know who each other is and get to know. And you know, if you like honey, it's good to know somebody who does bees. So you could, John can hook you up there. He's the bee man. It's important to know things about each other, just because it's important to get to know each other. So the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies is a non-denominational denomination, a loosely organized organization that is a sister denomination to the Assemblies of God, and mainly about among Scandinavian folks and areas. And in our, when we lived in Washington in the Seattle area, Ballard is a big Norwegian and Scandinavian hangout, and so are other parts of the state. And so we had, that denomination was very large. And so when I found out last month that Jerry was a part of this and that he had pastored, I thought, hey, it would be fun to have somebody come and share that you don't have to listen to Rick all the time. And so I invited him to come. So he's going to come and he's going to share this morning. So let's welcome him all the way from Wisconsin Rapids.
Thank you, Pastor. As Pastor Rick mentioned, we moved into this area about 9 years ago, and we kind of landed in the Stevens Point, Wisconsin Rapids area. And after I was a pastor in a small town in a small church in Berrigan, Michigan, which I really did enjoy that. But to tell you a little bit more about myself this morning is that I grew up in a small town in Sheldon, Wisconsin, about 2 hours northwest of here. It was a small farming community then, and it's still small to this day. And at that time, it was a really great place to grow up and to become a young man, because the World War II generation was raising their kids, and some of them already had raised them, and everybody knew each other. And so it was kind of like Mayberry. If you were goofing up, they'd call your dad up and say, hey, your kid's looking, you know, he's acting real goofy over here. Maybe you should come get him. But it was a great place to grow up. And my parents, they were faithful in the local church and serving the Lord there. And so from an early age on, I knew that I needed my sins forgiven. I knew that I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so as a freshman in high school, I waited quite a while, because from earliest memories on, I heard the gospel. It was presented to me. But finally, when I was a freshman in high school, I received Christ as my Savior and Lord. And in doing so, you know, sometimes you have the conception that life is going to be smooth and easy and you're going to have good times. But my life's been full of good times and had my fair share of struggles and hardships and bad times as well. So this morning, as we're looking at the message today, I would like you to think of something that, you know, when you hear this phrase, 100% pure, what do you think of when you hear or see this phrase up on the screen, 100% pure? Can anybody say anything or think of anything? I mean, other than
orange.
Pure orange juice. That sounds real good. I'd like some. Pure water.
No flaws.
No flaws. Perfection. Exactly. Or pure gold. Something that's authentic or genuine. So as with that in mind, what do you think of when you hear the words pure joy? What do you think of? Or maybe it's a memory that you have, or for mothers, maybe holding the newborn baby, or maybe it's something else that you think of. I think of our honeymoon, I think of pure joy. I was going to have a slide of our surfing and stuff like that, but that was fun. That was vetoed. So there's moments in life where we experience joy, but it's not pure joy. And that's something this morning, pure joy is something that lasts. And I'd like to share with you a scripture very familiar with me, but occasionally the Lord reminds me of what it really means. And so that's the scripture that the Lord put on my heart this morning. So in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, some of you know it by heart. But James writes, "My brethren, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." So what is pure joy? This joy that I'm talking about, can you find it in entertainment or in a bottle or in relationships? Maybe you know somebody named Joy or something like that. But is it something that you can buy in the store? Pure joy. Actually, it is. You can buy pure joy on the store shelf in the dishwashing soap area. That's where I first was introduced to it. My mom had used Joy as dish soap. So you can buy it, but that's not the pure joy that I'm talking about this morning. And as I study this verse in James, I had to ask myself about pure joy. And I thought, well, is it an attitude? I remember listening to and growing up to Chuck Swindoll. He's on the radio. He's still on the radio today. And he's a pastor and head of Insight for Living Ministry. And he had a nice quote about attitude. We have it up on the screen there. He said, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude is, to me, is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstance, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It'll make or break a company, church, a home. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude that we embrace for the day. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the only one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes." And I always liked that. It's a nice saying. And as I considered this text, I was reminded of that. And I realized that pure joy is more than just a good attitude. Choosing to have a good attitude helps us in the trial, and it's a good thing. And what we choose to think about is important. We're commanded that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We're commanded to think about good things and keep our mind on things that are true, things that are noble, things that are just, things that have a good report, and that are praiseworthy. We're supposed to meditate on these things, and this is important. It's very important for our mental health. And a good attitude helps us through that trial. But pure joy is more than just a good attitude. And after considering this, I considered pure joy again, and I was asking, well, what does James mean when he says that consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And I was looking at the text, I'm like, well, it can't be trials. Are trials pure joy? Because if they are, I've had enough of them. I don't need any more pure joy. If trials are pure joy. And if you look at that, it seems to seem that he's referring to trials here, and consider them pure joy. But as he was writing this scripture that we have today, he was writing it to the 12 tribes that were scattered. And they were scattered because of persecution of the early church. And they think that this is one of the earlier New Testament books of the Bible, written around 60 AD or so. You know, there's some debate about that, but it was widely circulated within the church sometime after Stephen was stoned and Saul persecuted the church and Christians were beaten and had to move. And so they were scattered abroad. And so we see as we look at trials that they're for everyone. The brothers and sisters that the terminology that he uses in this text refers to Christians, that they were brothers and sisters in Christ. And so they're for everyone. That's not always what we want to hear. Sometimes you want to hear that if we just receive Christ, everything's going to be okay and we're not going to have any trials. But brothers and sisters are going to have trials. And There are many kinds. So there's a variety of trials that we can fall into. Some are from the lack of wisdom. Our own bad choices can get us into a mess or a jam. And then there are other times, there are ones that come unexpectedly. Maybe a call from the doctor after a physical, or something comes along the way that comes out of the blue that we have never anticipated, and we find ourselves in a trial. Either way, whether that's something that we brought on ourselves from the lack of wisdom, or if it's something that came unexpectedly, James here in verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So whether we did something and are in a jam, or if something unexpected comes up, we can always ask God for wisdom of how to get through that trial that we're going through. So trials are not pure joy, but they're part of a process that leads us to pure joy. This process brings maturity and completeness to every believer. And back up in verse 4, James says, let perseverance finish its work so that you can be more mature and complete, not lacking anything. So trials, for the lack of a better analogy, they're like dirty dishes. They're part of life. When I remember growing up with my mom, we had dirty dishes on the counter all the time. But they were the part of the process of our lives. We had good food, and we had dirty dishes. And that led her to pure joy, and she taught us of how to be joyful with washing those dishes. But trials are a part of life. So even if I'm kind of lacking on how to compare it to, in some ways we could relate to that every day. But they're a process that we go through. And most times, if you're like me, you want to get through it as quickly as possible. Some trials are grievous, and they're painful, and they're painfully slow. You don't think you'll ever get through it. And some are unexplainable. You can't explain it. There's no solutions to get out of the mess, and that's why we really need to rely on God's wisdom. And yet, sometimes, even when you're in the midst of it all, that's exactly where God wants us to be. He's getting our attention. He wants us in that position so we can realize our need for Him, and that we rely on Him and we can grow in our knowledge of Him. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace which we stand. And we boast in the hope and the glory of God. Not only so, but also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because of the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. So we see here the process, and painful process that it is, of suffering, perseverance, character, and hope. They're all part of the process that bring maturity and completeness in our life and lead us closer to the Lord. And so they lead us closer to pure joy. The crown of life. In verse 12 of James, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, the person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. In this verse, James is reminding us that in this process, at the very end, we receive the crown of life. And trials range in severity. And compared to the Christians who he was writing to, theirs was very severe. They were being beaten and killed, and we see this going on in our world yet today. In the Middle East and other parts of the world, Christians are being imprisoned. They're beaten, tortured, and killed for having faith in Jesus Christ. There's Pastor Saeed in Iran. He's still being held there, and he was just beaten last week with the internet. You can follow the news and gather that. There's pastors in Sudan, Christian relief workers, Christians in Iraq, Syria, North Africa, and if you go on the Voice of the Martyrs website, they have an interactive map, and there's all kinds of different places in the world where people are being persecuted because of their faith. But at the very end, we receive a crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more than gold that perishes, though it's tested by the fire, may be found to the praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So we have the promise of God, the crown of life, and being ushered into his very presence when we die. But I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to wait till you die to experience the presence of the Lord and pure joy. We can experience his presence right here and right now. Pure joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, is the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. In Psalm verse 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." So we find that the fruit of the Spirit, pure joy, comes from the Holy Spirit, and it's growing on the inside of you as we spend time in the presence of the Lord. When a trial comes, and if we distance ourselves from God and because we're angry or we're disappointed with him, or maybe we'll give him the silent treatment, but we'll feel miserable as a result of that. And sometimes we push people away. They want to help. They want to point us toward the Lord, but we push them away. But in reality, when the trial comes, and sometimes they come in waves, like Pastor Al said, sometimes you seem like they come in waves, we need to draw closer to God, even if we're disappointed or angry. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. James says that in chapter 4, verse 8. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And being in God's presence, that's where the pure joy is found. We don't have to wait till we die. We can experience his presence of the Holy Spirit right here and right now. So joy is that happiness. It's not circumstantial, because it comes from the Lord. It's internal. It's the Holy Spirit working on the inside of us. It's not based on what's going on in our lives, but God working with us. And I would like to look at one more scripture today that illustrates this, and it's a really good example from the Old Testament, I think. And one of the minor prophets, Habakkuk, he was a prophet, and he lived in a day that during the time when the Babylonians were rising to power, about 607 years before Christ. And because he was a prophet of God, and in talking with God, he knew that what was coming. He knew that the Babylonians were going to invade. It was imminent. And he was really wrestling with that. And I'd like to read the last portion, because he knew that life was going to get very difficult, not only for himself, but his entire nation, as they were going to invade. And he writes in the last part of the chapter 3, he writes, "I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound, decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on new heights. Habakkuk knows that hard times are coming, yet he chooses to rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my Savior. Pure joy and rejoicing will come from being in the Lord and in the Lord God, my Savior. And pure joy is found in God's presence, spending time with Him, acknowledging who He is. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. And lastly, this is what I found when I experienced difficult times in my life. And this morning, or during the weeks of preparing for this, God was reminding me of that, of what I found, that we can experience joy even in troubled times. We can have joy in our times of need. We can have joy when everything seems to be failing or falling apart. We can have joy if we choose to do what Habakkuk did and determine that I will rejoice because He is good. I will rejoice, for He'll never leave you. I will rejoice in the Lord, for He is the God of all comfort. I will rejoice in the Lord because He forgives our sin. I will rejoice in the Lord because He's our healer. I will rejoice in the Lord, for the sovereign Lord is my strength. He is the one who helps us tread on new heights. He'll give you strength when you don't know you have any strength to go on. So we're able to rise above our circumstances as we rejoice in God, no matter what our circumstances, if they remain the same or they decline or they improve, we can rejoice in the Lord. So we can count our trials as pure joy because they lead us closer to the Lord as we choose to rejoice in Him and who He is. At this time, I'd like to turn the service over to Pastor Rick, if you want to come and close, and perhaps there's somebody that wants to be prayed for, or however you want to do that, go ahead.